So like I said, as Hanukkah is approaching, it's hard not to talk about Hanukkah, but there are a lot of aspects of Hanukkah. One of the biggest aspects of Hanukkah is the aspect of light. We light candles every day. We light more and more candles. And we bring the, a lot of what Hanukkah is about bringing light into the world, bringing light and lighting up the darkest of moments. So if I were to ask you, and I'm not going to ask for any responses just for the sake of time. There's a lot that I want to cover and not so long. But if I were to ask you what light represented or what light symbolized, so there are a few answers and a number of directions that people can go in. There's a lot that light symbolizes. There's a lot to contrast light and dark. Light can represent a lot of things and dark represents a lot of things. But number one, and first and foremost, maybe on the most simplistic level, light represents day, light represents sun, light represents fire, light represents warmth, right? That is just the tip of the iceberg. If you wanted to go a little bit deeper, so you might think that, right, light represents happiness, light represents positivity, light represents maybe holiness or a sense of purity, while darkness would be the opposite of all the things that I said. But there's one other big thing that I think would come to many people's minds when we're talking about light and when we're discussing what light symbolizes and what it represents. And that is a sense of knowledge and, more importantly, clarity. When a person has clarity, when a person has a sense, when something makes sense to them, so that could be symbolized and that could be represented by light. What do I mean by that? If you look for the universal symbol, right, when someone has an epiphany or when someone has a good idea or when someone has a sense of clarity, right, what do we say? That we have a light bulb that goes off by their head, a light bulb, that a light that turns on, a light that enables, that makes sense, that clears so much up. When you have an aha moment, when you realize, when you finally put something together, right? So the universal icon and the universal symbol, the way to demonstrate that would be the light bulb, a set of light that's going off and that's shining, a darkness. And now you have that light bulb that is going, that is shining, that you were able to light up an area which was clearly, that was previously unclear, an area that was clearly didn't make, that previously did not set 100% or make 100% clarity, wasn't 100% clear to you. Right, we have the concept and the phrase, right? I'm trying to shed light on something. That you're, what does that mean, that you're trying to shed light on something? It means that you're trying to clarify. You're starting to clear something that was foggy, something that didn't really make so much sense to you. You're trying to shed light. You're trying to understand it, and you're trying to clarify. Here again, you see, right, that the concept of light represents clarity and symbolizes a sense of understanding and a certain sense of clarity of something that was unclear beforehand. There is a Gemara. The Gemara tells a fascinating story. The Gemara tells a story of Rabbi Barbar Chana. And the Gemara says that Rabbi Barbar Chana was out at sea with some friends, some people, and he was on a boat, and it started to get a little bit stormy. The waves started to rage a little bit, started to drizzle maybe. The winds were blowing, and it started to get a little bit dangerous to be out at sea. So Rabbi Barbar Chana and the other people on the boat, their first instinct was to try to look for some dry land, maybe a shore, right? Maybe they'll make it to some land, or maybe an island in the middle of the ocean, anything, any place where they can kind of park their boat, get off, get onto dry land until the storm passed. And lo and behold, as they are going through the sea, they're going through the ocean, right? They noticed this, what they thought to be this big patch of land. The Gemara tells us that that was not a patch of land. It was actually a very, very big fish. It was a very big fish, right? And they mistakenly thought the back of the fish was an island in the ocean. That's how big the fish was. So Rabbi Barbar Chana and his people get close to the fish. They get close to what they thought was this dry piece of land. And they're excited to finally, right, after being in the stormy ocean for a little bit, they're excited to park their boat and to get out. And the Gemara tells us they actually did. They put their boat onto the dry land, or what they thought was the dry land. They took out their, unpacked their bags. They started taking out their pots and pans to cook some food. And as they start cooking the food, they light a fire, and the fish right, got irritated from the heat of the fire. The fish got irritated from, right, all that was going on in its back. And all of a sudden, it did this major backflip. And it completely and totally threw them, Rabbi Bar Barchana and the people, right, off its back and back into the ocean. The Gemara concludes that if there wasn't for a boat that was passing by, Rabbi Bar Barchana and all of those people would have drowned, but they were saved by a boat that was passing by. Rav Soloveitchik and some others explain that that idea and that Gemara is actually an illustration and the story of our lives. We are going through life in a stormy sea. We are going through life thinking that the back of a fish, we are planting and we are, right, resting and we are assuming, right, that the back of the fish is a stable, steady, safe place, a piece of land in the middle of a stormy ocean. While really, we're completely and totally off. We're completely and totally mistaken. We're completely and totally, we don't know, right? The world is such a crazy place. The world is so fuzzy. It's so dark. It's so foggy, right? That we don't necessarily know. We don't necessarily realize, right? We think we know. We think, right? We get all excited for this dry land in the middle of the stormy ocean, only to be mistaken, only to be thrown off, only to realize that we were totally, right? We made a bit of a mistake, right? It wasn't dry land. It was just a big fish that throws us off. That's the way we live our life. We think, right? We think we understand. We think we know. We think we're connected. We think that everything makes sense. But really, right? Life is busy and life is complicated. And we're being thrown and we're being pulled and we're being pushed in so many different directions. And there's so many people who are telling us to do this or to do that. And it's complicated. It's hard. We don't know. We don't have clarity on what it is necessarily that we should be doing or how it is that we should be doing. We don't know what our goals should be, and we don't know how to achieve or how to accomplish our goals. It's difficult. It's hard. And we're yearning. We're searching for that light, for that candle in the darkness to illuminate, to light up our lives and to give us a little bit of a sense of clarity of the direction and the actions that we are to be taken. When I was growing up, so I didn't watch a lot of movies growing up, but there was one movie that I actually remember watching time and time again. For some reason, it was a family comedy sports type of movie, I was very into sports. I was very into watching sports and playing sports. So this is one that I actually connected to and wanted to watch. I remember watching this time and time again to the point where at points in my life, I actually knew a lot of the movie by heart. I knew a lot of the scenes and a lot of the play-by-play by heart. The movie was Little Giants. I don't know if that movie is even still around. I'm not sure if any of you have ever watched that. But Little Giants, basically the plot of the movie is that they were these people in a town, in a small town, and they're a bunch of kids who tried out for this football team to play for the state, this small town's football team. And there was a new coach who came in one year, and he took his job more seriously than people wanted to. He ran these official tryouts, and he cut the people who weren't, right, who weren't good enough, cut the kids who weren't good enough. And there were a lot of people who were upset, a lot of people who thought, right, this was just a bunch of kids who were trying to have fun, right? And he was taking his job too seriously, and he was hurting the kids' feelings. Right? And why would you tell a young kid, that he can't play me? Everyone should be able to make the team. It should be a walk-on team, right? And one person was giving him a very hard time. To the point where one of the people who was cut, one of the teammates, one of the players who was cut from this team, convinced his father, who was a relative of the other coach, to start his own team, right? Start your own, right? With all the kids, take all the kids who got cut from this team and make a new team that will represent this small town. And finally, this father, he felt for his child, he felt for the other kids who were cut, and he said, you know what, we'll do it. Convinces together with his child, they go around and they tell all the people who got cut. They recruit a few other people, a few people from here, a few people from there. And again, they were clearly the underdogs. They couldn't match. They couldn't compare. Half of them didn't even know how to catch, how to throw. They didn't even know the rules of football. The coach of the more intense coach, the guy who was taking his job too seriously. So at one point, he went over to this coach and he said, you know, you can't compete in any of the league, right? Because there's a rule. That from every town, the state rule is every town can only have one team. One town, one team. That was his line. So finally they got together and they said, you know what? Let's give it a shot. Let's have a competition. Let's play against each other and let's see who wins. Let's play for the rights to be the team of the town. Right? Why do you decide, right? Who said that your team is the team that represents our town? Let's play for it. Right? Winner takes all. Right? The winner of the game. And again, obviously, right, the A team, the teams who got, they were people who knew what they were doing. They were fit. They had proper equipment. They were ready to go. And this other team, right, which was the scrubs, the people who didn't make the team, they were the underdogs. They didn't even have real football equipment. They didn't know, they knew nothing. They were starting from scratch. And they had this big game scheduled, marked on the calendar and scheduled. And again, I remember the first half of that game was a blowout, right? It was 21-0. Or something like that for the guys who were more fit, the better guys, and to the point where one of the guys were even on the team that wasn't good, right? Started running, right? He threw a pass and finally they made a completion, whatever it was, and he was running in the total opposite direction. He didn't even know what direction to be running in. He didn't even know which direction, which was his touchdown, which was the other team's. Obviously, the end of the story is it's a good story and the underdogs win. And then they shared the team and they merged and they made one good team and happy ending in that way. But again, but that idea and that concept, that scene sticks out in my mind sometimes of that guy who made the catch and started running in the opposite direction. Sometimes we are that guy, right? We make a catch and we're running with the football, but we're running in the complete opposite direction. Right? We're supposed to be running that way and we're running backwards. We're running completely. We think we made it. And when we get to the touchdown, right, you're celebrating and you think you've accomplished so much only to be sacked and to realize that you just let up a safety, right? That you just gave up. You scored in the other team's touchdown. And that's sometimes how we find ourselves. That's sometimes the way we live life. And we need certain lights. We need certain moments to direct us. We need certain moments to direct us and teach us and tell us where the light is, to tell us what direction to go in, to tell us what is real and what is fake, to tell us what is genuine, what is worth, what is valuable, and what is not. But the most scary thing, right, besides from sometimes we have the ability, we know, right, what is good and what is bad, but the scariest moment is when we can't even differentiate. We don't even know the difference between good and between bad. Every single morning when we get up, we make a series of brachos. Of the Berachos HaShachar. And we start our Berachos HaShachar with Berachos HaTorah, a bracha thanking Hashem for giving us a portion in Torah, which makes sense, or I would think makes sense. We continue with the bracha of Elokai Neshama, thanking Hashem for giving us a soul, for giving a Neshama, that also makes sense. And then we run into a series of brachos back to back. And if you go through, it's interesting, some of those brachos, a lot of them are things that we can relate to, things that we can make sense of. Shalom Asani Gai, thanking Hashem for giving us and making us Jews, right? To thanking Hashem for Kokeach Ivrim, waking us up, Zokev Kapufim, right? Letting us stand up straight, Shasali Koltarki for giving us all that we need, all of providing all of our needs. Again, and if you went through, so many of the brachos make a lot of sense. But if you look at the first bracha in that series of brachos, it stands out and it's a little bit strange. We say, Baruch Atah Hashem, right, we thank Hashem, what? For Anosein Sachli Labina, Anosein Sachli Labina, Lahafkin Ben Yom Uvein Laila. Right? We ask Hashem, right? And we thank Hashem, we praise Hashem for giving the rooster the ability, the knowledge to differentiate between night and day. And the question to be asked and the question to be raised is, who the heck cares? Right, why we get up and I can barely wake up my eyes. You can imagine the Shanal kid, right, who's being encouraged to go to davening, right? Someone who's struggling, doesn't know the meaning, doesn't know the purpose, doesn't know why he's going to davening. And finally, he's convinced by his Rebbe to go up to davening, to get up, to wake up, to push himself to daven. He gets to davening, he opens up the art scroll, sitter, and he starts reading in English. And he reads Berachas HaTorah, great. He reads the Bracha of Elokai Neshama, great. And then he gets to the Bracha of Anos HaNasech Bibina. The rooster, he gives the root. What are we talking about, right? I don't know anything about roosters. I don't know what time they get up. I don't know if they could differentiate between day and night. And I don't care. Why is that important? Why is that a bracha? And obviously, the importance of that bracha and the significance of that bracha is not about roosters. It's not about necessarily even day or night. But it's about the power of differentiation. About God giving us the ability and giving us the talent to be able to differentiate between night and day, to be able to differentiate between good and bad, to be able to differentiate between positive and negative. And it's not a given. And it's not always easy. And it's not always clear cut to know the difference between night and day, to know the difference between light and dark. There are times and there are moments in life where we are uncertain, we are unclear what it is that we are supposed to be doing, what it is that I am meant to be doing at this moment. There are times where we need hanosin asafi, we need clarity to know which direction to go in, to be able to differentiate. And we ask Hashem, we ask to differentiate between good and between bad. It happens to be, and it's no coincidence, that if you open up Shmona Esrei, you open up our silent tefillah, which is the climax of davening. So we know that the tefillah is structured, right, is broken up into three parts. We have the Sheva, Bakashos, and the Hodah. First, we have three brachos of praise to Hashem. We end with three brachos of thank you, of Hodah to Hashem. And in the middle, you have the brachos of Bakasha, the request that we make of God. And the first of those requests is the what? Is the bracha of Chonin Hadas, the bracha of giving wisdom. And what is that about? Like giving wisdom and being able to understand, the bracha of understanding, a bracha of clarity. We are asking Hashem that we should have a sense of clarity. We should be able to differentiate between what is good for us and what is bad for us, to be able to understand and to recognize, right, what is a positive thing, what is something that I should be investing in, what is something that I should not be investing in. It's complicated. Right? We are, right, in college, right? We have families. We have so much going on in our lives. We're being pulled in so many different directions, right? Social events, sports, right? Anything, right? Positive things. Sometimes things are good, and we don't know what's appropriate, when it's appropriate, how it's appropriate. How much should I be investing in my college? How much should I be investing in my learning? How much should I be investing in my family? How much should I be investing in my career? Whatever stage of life it is that we're at, it's always going to be a balancing act. It's always going to be a tug of war of sorts in this direction or in that direction. How much here and how much there? And we are asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ata chonin la'adam das, v'chaneinu me'itcha de'a bina v'haskam. We are asking Hashem to give us that sense of wisdom, to give us that sense of clarity, to be able to differentiate, to be able to understand, to be able to know what is right and what is wrong, what is good and what is bad, what amounts to give in this direction, what amount, how much effort to put in that direction. When we're being pulled in so many directions, to know where exactly to put in our efforts. I think it's no coincidence that on Motzei Shabbos, specifically in the bracha of Atachonin, we insert the paragraph of Atachon Antanim. Atachon Antanim is the paragraph that we say every Motzei Shabbos, a form of Havdalah, a separation between Shabbos and the Mosafot, the days of the week. We go and we say specifically then, because you know what knowledge is? Knowledge is the power to differentiate. Knowledge is the power to be able to, right, to distinguish and to be able to separate, to make clear lines and to make clear boundaries and to know and to categorize, to know what Shabbos is, to know what the weekday is, to know what light is and to know what dark is, to know what good is and to know what bad is. It's no coincidence that Shabbos, I believe, and I know we've learned this and spent time on this when we learned about Shabbos and the fundamentals of Shabbos. But it is no coincidence that Shabbos starts off with candles and ends off with candles. We have that burning, that light that brings us into Shabbos with the mitzvah of Hadlakas Neros. And we have that same candle, that same light that we have at the end of Shabbos. Those are the bookends. Candles represent the bookends of Shabbos. We are differentiating. We're shedding light. And we're saying that there are lines here. There's a border, right? There is an order here to my life. That, in a way, I believe, is one of the ideas and just one of the concepts of the light and the candles that we light on Hanukkah. I think that it's specifically, right, we wait. There are many, throughout all of Hilchos Chanukah, there are many different halachos, and there are many different opinions. Almost in every single area of halacha surrounding halachos Neiros, there are different opinions, and there is machlokas regarding where you light, regarding when you light, who should light, how many you should light. Those are all halachos that we should learn, and we have the next few days to prepare and learn about them. But I think when it comes to, at least when it comes to the idea of when a person should light, so there are different opinions. Right? Do you light at Tesa Kochavim? Do you light at the end of, right? The beginning of Shkia, at the end of Shkia, in the middle of Shkia? Do you light later on? Right? There are different opinions as to even when the ideal time to light halachos Neiros. But everyone agrees that whenever you light the candles are supposed to last a half hour. The candles are supposed to last a half hour after Tesa Kochavim. Once the night falls, once the stars come out and it's completely and totally dark out, you need a half hour for those candles to be lighted at the darkest moment, right, when it's actually dark outside. Right, not before, not after. There needs to be time where the candles are lit in the darkest time of the night. When the night falls and there's no more sunlight, there's no more light. Those are the dark moments. When darkness hits, right, when we reach, it's specifically when it turns dark, that's when the obligation of lighting the Chanukah candle comes in. When we have moments of darkness, unclarity, when we don't know exactly what's coming, we don't know exactly what is good and what is bad, we turn to the Chanukah candles and we say, let's shed some light. Let's have some candles lit. Right? Let's light up, let's understand, right, what it is that we're, let's internalize, right? Let's try to understand where it is that we're coming from. Let's try to understand where it is that we're going. Let's try to gain some clarity in our lives. Let's take a moment, right? It's specifically at Halakas Neiros where we say that a person is not supposed to do other malachos. A person is supposed to spend time with the Chanukah candles. Let's take some time to reflect. Let's look into the light. Let's see the moments of clarity. Let's see where it is and what it is, right? Let's see where it is that I'm going. Right, where it is that I'm coming from, where it is that I'm trying to get to. And let's try to take the darkest moments and the darkest areas of our lives, the most challenging areas of our lives, and bring some light to those moments. Bring some clarity. Bring some direction. Bring some light into specifically and primarily those moments.